And I know choir's been practicing on that, and they're supposed to be here at 4:30 tonight, practice, so remember that. And if you can get here, and amen, we look forward to a good time in the Lord tonight. And, of course, the service will start at 6 o'clock, and come pray in the Lord to meet with us. Amen. If you want to stand as we read the Scripture, Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin reading verse 18. Pray the Lord will help us this morning. The Bible says, now the birth of Christ, or Jesus Christ, was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs this morning, God. Lord, how you've already touched our heart. Thank you, Lord. Begin to think about what you've done for us. And God, we can't praise you and thank you enough. Lord, I pray you'd encourage our heart in these days. Pray, Lord, that we would keep you first. And remember, as already been said back in the prayer room, that we'd keep you as the real reason for this season, this time. Be thankful, Lord, that you can be first in our life all throughout the year, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be the servant of God you'd have us to be. Lord, I pray most of all, if there's once lost this morning, God, once not sure of their salvation, they'd come around and make things right with you this morning, God. Draw us close to you, and everything that's said and done, we'll give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Matthew chapter 1, of course, a familiar passage of Scripture. We think about the birth of Christ. I said last Sunday, don't expect us to always preach a Christmas message on Christmas or an Easter message on Easter. We just got to follow the Lord. But I thank God that He led us this direction this morning. I was thinking, I preached a message along these lines one time before, but I want to look at it a little bit differently maybe this morning. And I know it was probably a couple of years ago when I preached it. May have preached it here, I believe. But the Bible tells us about the birth of Christ, and then we have just a little bit that happens later. We have about the circumcision that's mentioned over there in Luke chapter 2 and 8 days. And then we've got what happened a year and a half, 2 years later with the wise men, which is in chapter 2 here of Matthew. And then the only thing we read about Christ is when he was 12 years old. I only have one passage about him when he was a young child. And then we read about the Lord when he was probably around 30 years old. And we read about the ministry of Christ and how that Christ came. And that's the gospel. The gospel is the crux of the gospel, really, is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there wouldn't be a death, burial, and resurrection if there wasn't a birth. And just in God's plan. And you say, well, what happened those other years? Well, I don't know. And you don't know it neither. God didn't want you to know, so you don't need to speculate. It don't matter. Amen? We really don't. And if you got some other books that speculate, you might as well just junk them, you know. This is the Word of God. This is preserved Word of God. And that's what we have in God's Word. And I really believe when at 30 years old, his earthly ministry begins because he was baptized. And baptism is not a part of your salvation. It's part of your service. It's part of your ministry for the Lord. And so that's just a picture of him beginning his earthly ministry, you see. And the Bible tells us when he performed the miracle there at Cana of Galilee that was the first miracle he performed. That's what the Bible says. And, you know, he could have done many other great wonders. And he maybe he did as far as intellectually speaking, that as he did when he was 12 years old, astounding the doctors and the lawyers. He may have did that a lot down through the years. But evidently the first miracle was when he began his earthly ministry. But nevertheless, amen, I'm preaching around my text. I'm getting back to it, okay? Just hang on, hold on. That's the introduction, I reckon. Or trying to work on an introduction. But the Scripture tells us about the birth of Christ that the Bible tells us here. And I guess if there's somebody that needed to be convinced about this thing, if there's somebody that really needed to talk to about it, would be Joseph. Amen? I mean, really, read what the Scripture says here. The Bible says he had thoughts about divorcing her. There was a period, a betrothal period that they were in, and they, and under Jewish law, could actually divorce in that. It would be a breaking of that. It was kind of like a divorce, but yet they hadn't never been married yet. But anyhow, they were in that betrothal period. If they'd find out one was unfaithful, they could deal with that and have her, Bible says, put away. It's what Scripture said there. And so that's what it was considering and going through his mind, or would go through his mind. But the Bible tells us that God spoke to him, that an angel came down, he had a dream, and God spoke to him in a miraculous way to show him, hey, listen, this is of God, this is God's plan, this is God's will, this is the only way it can happen, praise God. I mean, for him to be the sinless Son of God, he had to take upon himself the robe of flesh. He had, no man had anything to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason you got a perverted Bible that says that Joseph was his father. That's an error. That's not the truth. Your King James Bible never calls Joseph his father, but the other versions do. Amen. So that's doctrinal error. That's the reason I'm just stick with the old King James. Praise God. But anyhow, the Scripture tells us here about him being espoused to Mary, and before they came together, she was found with child. But the Scripture hurriedly says in verse 18 that it was of the Holy Ghost. I want us to look a little bit about the birth of Christ and just compare it. I got about 3 points, and we'll go to the house. I want us to look at comparing the birth of Jesus Christ to the Christian life. The birth of Jesus Christ to the Christian life. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Think about it. Listen, the birth of Jesus Christ is that Mary was Christ was virgin born. We believe that. That's what the Scripture says. And that the Holy Ghost came upon her and she conceived. And so it was Christ was indwelling her and growing in her, and she brought forth the Son of God. Amen. If you didn't catch that, that's my 3 points. I'm gonna slow down and give them to you, okay? First of all, let me say one thing. If you compare this and think about this and look at the Christian life and look at the birth of Jesus Christ, one thing you have to realize is that that we have, when we get saved, we have the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, I mentioned this, I think, in the introduction in the radio program. Talking about the radio program this morning, I said, listen, it's a gift of God. And we had Brother Herman on preaching about the gift of God. And I said not long ago, hey, the gift of God is Jesus Christ, and salvation is the gift of God. But really, they're one and the same, because salvation is not by your works, but it's by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that you saved. You have to receive Christ. So when you get saved, he moves in. Amen. He says there in one place, he's there at the door. He said, I'm knocking at the door. And if any man will open up, I'll come into him and I'll sup with him. That's salvation. Christ in you. If you want a title, that's the title for the message. Christ in you. Look at verse 18. It says in the latter part of verse 18, he says that before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, the Bible says, in the latter part of that verse, he says, listen, fear not to take unto thee. The angel was saying to Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is all God. This is going to be, really, Christ in her. This is going to be the way it is, and you compare it to the Christian life. When you get saved, it's Christ in you, the Bible tells us. Over in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says that the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. This is when Gabriel was talking to Mary. I think it just, it's something how that, and there was 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew. But now we've got the Lord is speaking and the Lord coming to this earth and walking among us for 33 and a half years or so. But what happens is the first thing in the announcements of the birth of Christ, there's a lot of angelic activity, if you will. I mean, you got God speaking to Joseph in a dream here. You got later on God speaking to him again in a dream and telling him to go down to Egypt. And you got God speaking to him again, telling him to come back out of Egypt. You got Gabriel going to Mary there and speaking to her. Gabriel in person talks to Mary. Ain't that good? Praise God. Gabriel in person comes and talks to Mary about the birth of Jesus Christ. And then some old shepherds on the hill just minding their own business. Amen. Just to work and tending the flock and everything. And glory to God, the angel, a heavenly host of angels. We don't know how many. Lord God, there might have been a hillside full of angels that came to a bunch of lowly shepherds and spoke to them. And then God moving the star and leading the wise men for however long they took that journey, for a year and a half, maybe up to 2 years, couldn't have been any longer than that, but they brought them to the house that they had abode in and were living in there in Bethlehem. The angelic activity of God just putting this thing together. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, salvation's like that. You're not going to get saved apart from a spiritual birth. It's not by the will of man, the Bible says, but it's by the will of God that you're saved. You've got to be born again. It's not in you turning over a new leaf. It's not in you signing a card. It's not in your name being written down in a church roll somewhere. It's in you being born, praise God, from above. I mean, Nicodemus couldn't understand it to him. When God, Jesus spoke to him there at night, couldn't understand it. He said, listen, that which is spirit is spirit, that which is of flesh is flesh. You're thinking about a fleshly birth. I'm talking to you about a second birth. I'm talking to you about a spiritual birth. And that's what we see here in Christ coming, Christ indwelling. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You get saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You're in saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He takes up His abode in your heart and in your life. That's the reason so many times, I mean, we think we can't make it, and we think we just can't go in our home. Well, and if you ever anybody say this, somebody say, I ain't going to get saved because Brother John said, I can't live the Christian life. And usually when I hear somebody say that, I go ahead and agree with them. I say, you're right, you can't live it. You got to have Christ in you. It's a change, amen. It's being born again. The Bible says old things pass away and all things become new. It's regeneration they need.
Amen.
Not turning over a new leaf, not rehabilitation. They need regeneration. Amen. Christ dwelling in you. He said if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, we've alluded to this a couple different times. You knew where it was going on this one. But the Bible says in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, he said it's a mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said it's a mystery. Oh my goodness, think about the birth of Christ. That's a mystery. That's what we can't understand, how God did that. But we just believe the Bible. We believe that He did. We believe He did exactly what He said. We believe the Word of God. I mean, I ain't got no problem believing the virgin birth. I ain't got no problem believing in the creation. Hey, listen, if you believe in the creation, you believe in Noah's flood, you believe in the first part of the Bible, and you believe the last part of the Bible, there's no problem believing all of it, praise God, from cover to cover. I believe it just like He said. Hey, He came, and the Bible tells us, in fact, as you think about what God said to Mary, is probably the only thing we can just... That's about as far as we can go with our mind, I reckon. And Mary understood it, said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And that's conceived of thee, that holy thing, he says to her, that holy thing is of the Holy Ghost. Listen, boy, it's the same way about salvation. I said, we're going to compare the birth of Christ to the Christian life. Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Ain't that good? He said, not I. It's not me that's living it. It's what Paul said right there. That'll help somebody out right there, won't it? Somebody say, I can't live it. I can't. Yes, that's right. Paul said he couldn't live it neither. He said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son. I live it because by faith I've accepted Him as my personal Savior. Now I'm saved by the grace of God, and I can live the Christian life. But it's not me that's living it. Praise God. It's Him in me, Christ in you. Christ indwelling presence. And then not only that, but second of all, let me say, we see the growth of Christ. And like I say, I mean, boy, it's hard for us to comprehend and understand, but just what the Scripture says, that's all I can rely on. That's all you can rely on too. You don't need to add nothing to it. You don't need to take nothing away from it. Just believe it like it is. Amen. The old saying is believe it in, you know, in black and white. Well, unless, you know, you're looking over in the, you got the red letter edition, or you got a rainbow Bible. But anyhow, here, look here in Matthew chapter 1. And I've got those. I've got a red letter edition. I've got a rainbow Bible. Some good study Bibles and things, some good helps. But Matthew chapter 1, I have King James 1, amen. King James, praise God, 16:11. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, he says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We read this morning in the Bible school lesson from Luke chapter 2. And in that story, it says that they went to be taxed with Mary. Joseph went with Mary, his espoused wife, to be taxed. And the Bible says she was great, she being great with child. And then the next verse says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so evidently, and I don't know the time period or whatever, I mean, it's just in the hands of God. But the normal time period is around 9 months. And so the Bible tells us that she was great with child. The Bible tells us that it was almost time for delivery and that she did deliver the baby there in the barn. Did deliver the baby there in an old manger, an old stable. I tell you what, I don't know if we can get a hold of that. I'd love to see what it was really like. Somebody said it might have been an old cave. It might have been what they used back behind the inn somewhere, and they had an old cave that they put the animals in. It might have just been an old cave that Mary and Joseph walked up in there in that cave. Boy, the old innkeeper said, ain't got no room, we're full up. People's coming from all over the world to be taxed, and we're just full up, ain't got no more room, but that little stable over there, you can go over there, and I can see Mary and Joseph going in that cave or back there in that manger. And there, Jesus Christ was delivered. There the baby was delivered. Ain't that something? Yeah, I mean, just think about how the Lord condescended to mankind. I heard somebody preach not long ago. I might mention this last Sunday out of Philippians, and he said, and he humbled himself. He said, that right there is the birth of Christ. He humbled himself and was obedient. Goes on to say, unto the death. That's what he came here to do. He came here to die. And of course, he rose again on the third day. But, you know, that scripture is a fulfillment. Verse 23, Matthew chapter 1, is a fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament. I forget how many different prophecies that Christ fulfilled in his life here, but it was hundreds that he fulfilled. By everything that he done was almost a fulfillment of something that was mentioned in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it says in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself, amen, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, it shouldn't be no surprise. 800 some years before, Isaiah wrote it down. Didn't understand it, but Isaiah wrote down, a virgin shall conceive. Going to bring forth a child. But you say, preacher, what was he trying to tell us about this? Now think about it. There was a process of time that Christ chose to grow in the womb of Mary. Well, you know what? It should be a process of time with us that we would grow spiritually, should be a process of time in this Christian life that we'd grow in the Lord. Well, I've talked to folks right after they got saved that they've got a, it may have been because of religion. It may have been, that's usually the problem, messes everybody up, religion, amen. But there may have been something else. It may have been not able to get over the past or whatever. And there's always something that they're dealing with. They have to grow. They have to grow in the Lord. They're babes in Christ, and they begin to grow, and they begin to live for the Lord, and they begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. It's not in this case that Christ is a growing, and it wasn't in the case then, in a way, because He never ceased to be God, and there was a time that He was not. But in the flesh, He began to grow in the womb. And later on it says, the child grew, And of course we know it did, and became, and we hear about him when he's 12 years old and all of that. But you think about it, spiritually ourselves though, we need to grow in the Lord. We need to be getting closer to God. We need to be getting closer. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved. You know, it's not a merit system on how long you've been saved or how much we attend church or how many times we do this and that and the other. We can still grow, praise God. We can still hear something afresh and anew from the Word of God. Every day, really, we can get something fresh and new from the Word of God. What a blessing it is. And amen, that's a joy. Praise God, that's a joy. And we come in the house of God, and praise God, we're there with our Bible open, and we're on the edge of our seat, and we're ready to get something from the Lord. We're ready to hear something from the Lord. You say, well, preacher, you just ain't too good. Well, you know, but God is. God's good. And we want to get something from the Lord. We want to get something from His Word. And man, that's a blessing. I mean, that's an encouragement when we come and we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord wants us to do, praise God. Hey, God's afforded us a lot of opportunities around here, and I praise God for it. Amen. Praise God for the opportunities we started to, I guess it was back in the, we was looking over some things. I mentioned that one service that we had shared with the deacons at the first of this year. And laying out some things that we was going to do. And I run across that somewhere. And I was saying, you know, everything that we was looking and praising God for everything that got started anew in 2007. And we was praising the Lord for that. One of those things was that Bible courses and everything. We passed them out. I forget. I don't even know what the number is now. And Dave's not here this morning. But I think it's probably over 30-some people or whatever. And we looked forward to some things we was going to look to do in 2008, and almost every one of them, you just go right down the list and say, praise God, praise God, praise God. One of them was increasing some on the missions, and we did that, and looking at some things concerning an internet ministry, and we did that, and some of you don't know that the hits now on that thing is over 300. It's topped over 300 now. There's been over 300 times somebody has listened to a message or downloaded a message or emailed somebody a message from the website of Gospel Way Baptist Church. That's a good bit, amen. I mean, I know it ain't as much as the garbage on other sites and things and a bunch of mess. You put mess out there, you know, it'll people will go and look at it and look at the garbage and look at bad stories and everything and tearing people down. But I was excited to see you can actually Google some different things, my name or the church's name, and it comes right up. It's the first page. It's right on there. I went down and seen I could Google sermons. I don't know if somebody had downloaded it. It was a sermon I preached about yokes of bondage. I don't know if somebody's downloaded that in a bunch of times, but somehow ended up on a Google search. Ain't that, I mean, that's something. You say, preacher, I don't understand all that. Well, it don't matter. The Word of God's getting out. Somebody's hearing some preaching, amen. Amen. They might cut it off halfway through. I don't know, Brother Don, but they're hearing some preaching, amen. Amen. Some are hearing some of it, I reckon. Right. Amen. Amen. But, you know, and another thing was the RU ministry. And that was one of the things on the list. And that's got started. And God's blessed. And we've seen several folks come. And some of them hadn't come at one time. But there's been some seeds planted. And there's some folks who need to come back and get involved in that. But even folks in our church has praised the Lord about being able to grow in the Lord. That's what I was talking about, growing in the Lord. And getting in the Word of God. It's really a good, and we've said this all along, it's a good discipleship course. And God's blessed to disciple some folks and help some folks that have needs and addictions and different things. But what I'm saying is, praise God, listen, think about it. As you think about the birth of Christ, there was a physical growth there that was taking place. And but praise God, we can have a spiritual growth take place in our life, but it's just up to us whether we want it or not. We can grow in the Lord. Listen to what the Scripture says, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible tells us there, but grow in grace. This is Peter closing the last verse that he gave in 2 Peter in chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What if you just close with one thought? What if you could write to a church just one thing? What if you could close? And that's what he did. He closed out saying, listen, if there's anything you need to think about, you need to grow in the Lord. You need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, because you, praise God, you start growing in the Lord, you'll want to be more of a witness for the Lord. You'll want to do more for Jesus Christ. And praise God, that's where we're going to end up. Let me give you that last point. Not only do we see that Christ's indwelling presence compared to Christian life, Christ's growth compared to the Christian growth. And then thirdly, let me say, Christ's testimony of coming forth. Think about it. The Scripture says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. One of the tragedies of America, and one of the things that God's going to judge our country for, is all the untold millions of babies that have been aborted. All the untold millions that have died. And unto God, you say, well, is it this one's fault and that fault? Well, no, it's just a whole. It's just society as a whole getting further and further away from God. But you know what? Praise God, I believe every one of them is going to be up there in heaven one of these days. I believe every one of them, God's going to pick up the pieces, because some of them have been aborted and they ripped their arms off, and the partial birth abortion is one of the most sickest things in the world. I mean, you think about going ahead and delivering a baby, and the legs, arms, everything's out except for the head, and it's breathing, it's got lungs, it's got all the capacity there, and then the doctor goes up inside their skull and sucks their brains out, crushes their skull, pulls a dead body out. That's what our tax money is going to pay for. And it's sad. But you know, in this day and time, And you think about that when the birth of Jesus Christ, when Christ was born, and what I was going to say a while ago too. I know I missed a thought there, so I'm backing up, okay? Somebody said, you know, ain't you glad, or I think I seen it on a bumper sticker, said something about, aren't you glad that your mother didn't abort you? You wouldn't be here, would you? But anyhow, when Christ came forth, like we said a while ago, think about it. I mean, the shepherds were told that they were to go back and tell. They could go back and tell the great things the Lord had done. The Bible tells that Mary pondered that in her heart. And I mean, you think about all the, and the wise men came, and they told about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was proclaimed in a lot of places across the earth, across the inhabited world, it was proclaimed. But you know what? You think about comparison to our Christian life, that's what we're supposed to be doing too, though. We're supposed to be giving the testimony of the birth of Jesus Christ and the death of Christ and His resurrection. We're to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's testimony of coming forth. There's a picture of us coming forth. There's a picture of us coming out. Like I said, if we're saved, Christ is indwelling us, and we grow, then the next step is to be a witness and telling somebody about Jesus, telling somebody about the Lord, seeing somebody get saved. You say, well, you know, preacher, I can't do much. I can't say much, and I get tongue-tied and everything, and, well, join the crowd. Amen. Get tongue-tied, and I don't know what to say. Can't explain for spluttering, you know how that goes. Or I do. I don't know if you do or not. But, I mean, that's one reason I said I wasn't going to preach. Felt like, I said I was like Moses, you know. Moses said, you know, I can't talk. And he said, well, I'm going to send your brother with me. And then his brother didn't say nothing. That's the way God will do, right? Amen. But you can pass out a gospel tract. I appreciate Sister Ann talking about passing out tracts there at Walmart. And I pray she just keeps right on, praise God. I did a lot of visitation on Tuesday night at Walmart. I done said that I was talking to somebody, went inside, and right there where all the poinsettias are right now. And I was on one side, and they was on the other side of the poinsettias. I was about to jump in poinsettias. Praise God. I mean, this person just moved 150-some miles to Cherville. Last time I seen them was up in the mountains. And here they are in the, coming inside of Walmart. Now, I talked to them, witnessed to them and everything, and hope to see them and their family get in the house of God. And then I went a little bit further on the inside, and I talked to three more families and never did get to the cash register. I don't know if Sister Cindy was there or not, but I never did even get to the cash register. I didn't even get that far. And witnessed to four families. Amen. I tell you what, we just need to be available, amen? Amen. God'll use us, amen? Amen? Well, I was talking about Sister Ann. She was talking about passing out some tracts and been talking about it for several weeks. But then she talked to somebody that she had already passed a tract out to. And that person told her that they'd got saved because of that gospel tract. Amen. That's worth it all. Amen. One soul's worth it all. You say, where they at? Well, I hope their name's written down in heaven. They get in a Bible-believing church somewhere and serve God and grow. And then they'll tell somebody else. And somebody else will get saved. And it'll just be a continual cycle. Praise God. That's what God wants it to be. Amen. Bible tells us there in verse 21 that she brought forth a son. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Over in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He said, bring forth. There's the testimony of Christ coming forth. And the testimony should be of us telling about Christ coming forth. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Each one of these are capitalized because it's talking about Jesus. Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. Amen. That's my Savior. Amen. You know what? You keep bragging on Jesus. It'll be worth it all. You just keep bragging on Him. It'll be worth it all. Last of all, let me give you this verse and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. I pause there sometimes. See if you're going to say amen. I'm going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Let me get that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that introduction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because Paul had to deal with a lot of problems that church had. The church of Corinth had a lot of problems. But when he began his introduction to that church, he said, you come behind in no gift, and you have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether they were sharing it like they needed to or not, they were saved. They had the opportunity. And he said, you've grown in the Lord. So they did everything we had there. I mean, Christ was in them. They were growing. And they had the opportunity to tell. I don't know if they were growing like they should. And I don't know if they were telling like they should. But he said, you come behind in no gift. I'm sure we can say the same thing. The Lord's blessed us. God's good to us. His blessings. He daily loathes us with His blessings. And sometimes we're unthankful. And that's the way He said be in this generation. We'd be unthankful. We don't take advantage of the opportunities that God's given us, but we have more opportunity. We got a year coming up, and I preached here at Gospel Way several years ago at a watch night service, and Brother Wayne reminds me of this message. I can't forget it. He keeps reminding me about it. He's not here, but he keeps reminding me about it, and I took out an old calendar of the next year, a new calendar. Well, it wasn't old. I took out a calendar of the next year, and I just flipped through the months. And I said, listen, think about it. In 2000, you can think about it now, look at 2009. There's been no sins committed in 2009. There ain't nobody missed church in 2009. There ain't nobody failed to tithe in 2009. There ain't nobody sinned against God in 2009. There ain't nobody failed to witness for Jesus Christ when we had that opportunity in 2009. There ain't nobody in this building missed out on anything for God in 2009. We might have missed out on some stuff in 2008. I'm sure I did. You did. We all did. We missed out on some opportunities in 2008. But we ain't missed a one in 2009 yet. Praise God, we ain't missed a one. There's an empty, and what I preach about, I still ain't gave you the title. I was just, saying we've got an open calendar, or an empty calendar, excuse me. And I said, we haven't missed no opportunities. We haven't missed no times of service. We haven't missed none of that. And God can bless us with that. And this turned into a New Year's Eve message too again. But amen. I asked the musicians to come around the song. Lord knows your heart. If you want to come around and pray, you might want to pray for somebody else. We've got a lot of folks